You are at risk. Your eternal soul is at risk. You may be seated. What's it about these post-resurrection appearances of Jesus? Already now he's appeared twice again today in John's Gospel alone. And so I ask you in my sermon today, do you know what this is about? And I'll answer, it's about love, agape, one of the New Testament Greek words for love. But today, love, you will see, is more than just agape. You probably know this. There are at least three New Testament Greek words for love. There is agape, and there's philia, and there is eros, perhaps in that sort of an ascending order, the ultimate being eros, from which we get our word erotic, and I'm not going there today. But the most common New Testament Greek word for love is agape. And agape means kindness, loving kindness, charity, commitment, generosity. Agape, you see, is that particular type of love that is not a feeling, but how you treat other people. Yet another New Testament Greek word for love is philia, which means friendship, fondness, affection, buddies, friends. The tone of it is different from agape, although in the Gospel of John, from which we read this morning, the words philia and agape seem interchangeable unless you pay attention very closely. And I'm going to talk to you about that. In Easter, we do hear about these post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. And this morning's gospel from John chapter 20 reports these two appearances. And they're a week apart. And we read them every year on this Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter. And there are more in John chapter 20. Before that, in chapter 20, at the tomb on Easter dawn, there is the appearance that we heard about last Sunday. And then our gospel just now at supper, Easter evening, those two appearances, Easter evening and again a week later with doubting Thomas. And you see, it continues later in chapter 21. And that's what I'm going to talk about, because we're not going to read these particular appearances this Easter season. And I want you to get it. I want you to get it and understand what's going on. And here's the rest of the story. And you can visualize. It's after Easter Day. Peter and several other of the disciples are out fishing on the Sea of Galilee. And the risen Lord, the risen Jesus, appears to them on the beach. You know the story. You've heard it many times. You know it. And I suggest to you that if you do not know the story, then you might come to our Tuesday morning Bible seminar this week, because it's the first thing we're going to read and discuss. Anyway, the risen Lord Jesus meets the disciples on the seashore, and he cooks for them a breakfast of fish and bread. And that's in John chapter 21. And so they enjoy their meal, and then after breakfast, at verse 15 in John 21, Jesus turns to Simon Peter, and he says, "Simon, do you love me?" And it's that puzzlingly repetitive scene where Jesus confronts Peter, who had shamefully disgraced himself by denying Jesus at his time of trial, his most urgent hour of need. "Simon, do you love me?" And Jesus uses there the word agape, which means, in effect, "Simon, are you committed to me?" Agape is impersonal. It's that love which is not a feeling. It's impersonal. It's sort of arm's length. It's a bit formal, maybe even a little distant. And it is not the same as the close friendship that they had before Calvary. If you use your imagination now, I'm going to take you to the beach, and you can see what's going on. Simon is there, and they've had their breakfast, and Simon with head down and his eyes averted. He's ashamed. He's not daring to look Jesus in the eye. He answers, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Simon Peter there uses philia, not agape, but philia, in effect saying, "Lord, you know I'm your friend. I'm fond of you. I have warm feelings of affection for you." But that's not what Jesus asked. Jesus asked him again, "Simon, are you committed to me? Do you agape me? Are you with me, as in, are you with me or against me?" And saddened, and the Gospel of John is very clear that Simon is upset. Simon answers again with the word philia. "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know I'm your friend. I care about you very much." And a third time Jesus asked, but this time, seeing that Simon is humbled and his heart heavy because denying Jesus has strained their relationship, possibly ruining their friendship forever, Jesus finally uses the word philia, which is close and personal and affectionate. "Simon, do you love me?" Asking in effect, "Simon, are you really and truly my friend? Can I trust you?" Simon, mindful that only a few days ago he turned his back and he denied even knowing Jesus, and that Jesus has every reason no longer to trust him, Simon says, "Lord, you know everything. You know I'm your friend. I love you dearly." And in my mind's eye, and you can put it in your mind's eye too, in my mind's eye of the scene on the seashore that morning, Simon Peter realizing that his denial hurt his Lord and friend more deeply than the betrayal of Judas Iscariot, pierced even sharper than the spear of the Roman soldier, Simon Peter covers his face with his hands and breaks down and sobs, weeping. A man with a broken and contrite heart. But then you see, with full acceptance, love and reconciliation, Jesus says, "Feed my sheep and follow me." And Simon knows that he is forgiven. And more than forgiven, he is restored to the fellowship, reconciled, friends again for eternity, following Jesus even to the cross. Peter, with a teeming net, head down, was crucified. My gospel for you this morning, the good news is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Son, God Himself, died on the cross, not only sacrificing Himself to pay for your sins, as our lessons have told us this morning, because the sins had to be paid for, you see. Otherwise, under the law of Moses, the sins are unforgivable because you committed them intentionally and so must die for them. Under the law of Moses, intentional sins cannot be forgiven. They must be punished, and some must be punished even by death. And in that, Jesus died in your place, calling you to repent, which, as Father Steve has said to the children here many times, means turn your life around and go totally in the opposite direction. Stop and turn around, repent. But then you see, and here's the main thing about it, not only does Jesus die, he returns from death and the grave, comes back into the world to make sure that you know he loves you. That's the reason for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God loves you. Jesus loves you just as he loved Simon Peter that morning on the beach. And he comes to you asking, "Do you just believe, or are you really my friend? Philia, let me be your brother." Just as Jesus did with Simon Peter, I ask you now. Do you believe? And if you say you believe, then I ask, will you? Will you repent? Will you turn around your life and follow Jesus even to the cross? So you see, you are at risk. I'm putting you at risk liturgically, theologically, deliberately this morning. You are at risk. There is not going to be a confession of sin and absolution this morning. You're going to have to come to the altar rail and receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, sola fide, by faith alone, trusting him that your sins are forgiven, trusting that he loves you, trusting that he accepts you, trusting that that you are reconciled to him, trusting that you are absolved and made clean in the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, washed white in the blood of the Lamb. You are not saved by anything you say. You are not saved by your words of confession or by anything the priest says or does as he makes the sign of the cross over you. You are saved into the kingdom of God only by the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You're saved and Christ is risen. But still he asks, do you love me? And then follow me. So you see, this is your morning. Just as with Simon Peter on the beach so long ago, this is your morning of renewal and reconciliation. And my question to you is, will you come? The renewal of baptismal vows is in your bulletin at page 7.